And it wasn't until I had a very interesting conversation with God himself. I know people think I'm crazy for this. I mean, I do fight for a living. I get punched. Think all you want. God came down. Like he said to me at 33, I come down from my kingdom to get your attention. Call it. These are the odds.
Used to be employee. These are the odds. I gotta make it and make it. I gotta make it and make it. Woo! I gotta make it and make it, man. These are the odds. And these are the odds.
You're listening to Call In with Colin.
Hello and welcome to the Call In with Colin show, where you get to call in from anywhere in the world and ask Colin or talk to Colin about anything that you want. In today's episode, we have the champ, Victor Ortiz, calling in from his home in California. Victor is one of the most electrifying boxers in modern history, and he is known as a brawler combined with speed and power. He's a crowd favorite, winning the 2011 Ring Magazine Fight of the Year, and he was formerly rated as one of the top three welterweights, active welterweights, by both Ring Magazine and ESPN. In 2011, Victor beat Andre Berto for the WBC welterweight title, and you may also know him for his acting role in The Expendables 3 and Dancing with the Stars Season 16. Yes, this guy's got moves. In this episode, we are going to go deep into motivation, mindset, finding your why, and how to persevere through the lows of life. This is going to be an epic conversation. Champ, welcome to the show.
What exactly made you become or want to become an entrepreneur, bro?
Yeah, great question. So, dude, so I'm like you, Victor. I've got a family, love my family, and I was looking long term. I wanted to look at, like, what's going to happen? Because at this point I was military, and then I transitioned after Afghanistan getting blown up. My son was 6 months old, almost got killed, transitioned into fitness modeling, traveling the world. And I ended up just looking at things differently. I looked at it like what does the future look like long term? And I wanted to make sure that my son and now my future kids are taken care of. So entrepreneurship for me is super important because I control my destiny. I don't let others control me, you know, and me, I thrive under pressure. Just like our steel's made from the air that we're breathing in, converting it from oxygen into nitrogen through high chamber tanks, low chamber tanks. And, you know, it's for me, like I have the most control when I'm directly impacted by it. And I can ensure to a degree that my family's taken care of because it's my form of control as an entrepreneur. And so I would say my family is a big driving factor behind getting started to begin with. And just challenges in general. I love being challenged to take on any industry and just, you know, try to dominate it. What about you? What makes you tick in the morning? Like what's that champion mindset to get in the ring? Like, I'm super curious on that.
Collins, for me, it's been an interesting, crazy roller coaster journey. It'll start off with the senses of kids, right? I never thought I'd be a dad, let alone a hell of a dad. I'm a great father. And I guess it was something that I didn't have. And I make sure that no matter what, whether it's a little hug, a little kiss, I mean, he'll hit himself, give him a kiss wherever. I mean, I'm the protector, right, to my little boys. I'm their provider. I mean, anything and everything, they'll always have me there. So with that being said, so to be the 16-year-old, you know, that was hungry and ambitious with nothing, no parents, no food, no nothing, it was all about me. Me. 17 years old, I become this kid that's filled with a lot of hurt, a lot of anger, and I'm just like, you know what? No. I was releasing it on the guy across the ring from me. Come on. So all this craziness, all this madness was channeled directly in for boxing. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to make a name. That allowed me to make a lot of money. That allowed me to make all this stuff. But then when I got to the top, It was kind of like you're at the top of the peak, but where do you go now, you know? So I didn't have direction. I didn't have direction. I was 21 years old, 22 years old, making millions now, and I'm on top of the world, and I was just like, I'm still looking down, but now I forgot who Victor Ortiz was. I forgot who I was, who I am at the time. So I lost myself for a long time, but God is very good and he's great in the senses of this. I ran from God for many years. I hid from him. I forgot who gave me everything. My beginning to, I mean, yeah, my parents left me, but he gave me protection. He gave me somewhere to stay. He gave me everything. And I took that for granted. And I forgot once I made all this money, I just me. And then to make all this, to do all this positivity for me in my life, that's all that kept me going. But then, like I said, at the top, I was by myself looking down, like, I don't even know who I am anymore.
So what does that look like for you, Victor? Like that inner peace, because I've been there as well, so I can relate to a degree. Obviously totally different verticals, but like, you know, landing 50 plus magazine covers in 2.5 years. So 2 to 3 covers a month. I was looking at like, what is next? Like you've hit that pinnacle and you soul search, but I was truly not happy with me. And even though, you know, I was making good money, not like your type of money at that time, but 30, 40 grand. And I was only 24, 25 years old, posting on social media as an early influencer back in 2012 and 13. I didn't feel like there was enough calling. I didn't know what was next. And so I wasn't happy. And I was just soul searching, trying to figure out what is next. Is that something that you kind of felt where it's kind of like a inner peace type, what do I do? I'm already at this.
It's actually interesting because through all this craziness of my life, something really ugly, tragic, and beautiful happened to actually make me that much hungrier, make me aware, make me poised at what I do, right? In the sense of this. It made me appreciate now because I was now a father. Mm-hmm. So being a dad, I never thought that I could or would be this amazing father to my boys and unconditionally. But now I had a why. So I understood that. I'm like, oh man, this is what that feels like. So yeah. To do things, not for me, but for those that you love, for me is these two little guys. And it wasn't until I had a very interesting conversation with God himself. I know people think I'm crazy for this. I mean, I do fight for a living. I get punched. Think all you want. God came down. Like he said to me at 33, I come down from my kingdom to get your attention. So it was interesting. I cried so loud and people probably thought I was crazy. I mean, who knows? Maybe I am crazy. But regardless, he gave me two beautiful blessings from what he said. And with those blessings, he had to pretty much make me realize and come to realization that it's he who gave me everything. And I forgot. So no matter what, bro, whatever I do now, I don't do it for me now. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I have to take care of myself. I have to prep correctly and whatnot. And, but that's for them, bro. The motivation behind all this is Royal and Malachi. Without those two little guys, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I would have been right next to one of my best friends who, may he rest in peace now. He took his own life a year ago, which is the night that I fought 3 weeks ago. I had a picture of Benjamin Storm Keogh, which is Lisa Marie Presley's son. I had a halo put on him, and it looked beautiful. He's like, it's a picture that he and I took together. We were at this, where they made the movie Gromit, the Claymations. And he's looking up like this at this claymation, and I was looking at it too. So I chopped that picture up, then I had my boy put wings on it and a halo on him. And then we put it on my suit, my trunks, and it was awesome. So actually that's a gift for Lisa Marie Presley now. It's all bloody though, so kind of feel a little bad. I put it on a mannequin and I told her I had a gift for her, so that's hers. Well, and that was motivation is on babies, so.
Yes, yeah, and I'm with you, man. That's that. When you have that why, it's so powerful. My why isn't only my kids, but, you know, being an entrepreneur having 100 plus employees, for me, ensuring that their families are also taken care of. Because, you know, looking at like things differently, it's not about me. There's a bigger picture. And I'm curious, you know, you've been at the very, very top. What does that look like for like a next steps? What do you do? I know you transition into movies and acting in several different, you know, big movies. But what is next? What does that kind of look like? Once you're a champion of this, are you wanting to take on different areas and just dominate that?
What is next for me is the senses of this. I now know that I have two little baby boys who depend solely on me. I'm their father. I'm their hero. I'm their Spider-Man. Dad, can you do Spider-Man? I'm like, it's broken right now, Dad, but sometimes. So regardless though, no, bro, I made a promise to my boys, my baby boys, I'll be champion again. So I'm still young. Thank the Lord. I'm still young. I'm 34 years old. And I promised them, I have a decade in me, but be healthy and get back to the top. I mean, this fight that we had recently I didn't feel my greatest. I'd been out of the ring in 3.5 years due to personal crazy stuff that I ran into along the way. But it cleared my path. So mentally and emotionally, I went into this fight knowing well that I already had my shoulders filled with so much, and I was carrying this heavy, heavy load, and I still went 10 rounds. I was sliced open, and hey, man, we went to the whole 10 rounds. I didn't, my personal opinion, I didn't look my best. I didn't look like Victor Ortiz that we know. I didn't perform at the best that I know I'm capable of performing, but hey, ultimately, we went out there for the fans. We had a good time. Robert and I, you know, we're good. He's a good human. So at the end of the day, it's just that's the sport, man. So we're here for a whole decade, man. And I made that promise to my sons. But if there's something else going on, like a movie or something, not to lesser movies, but I'm just, I don't know, mentally, I'm not into the movies, man. Weird. Gotcha.
What does a training day look like for you? Like when you're preparing for a fight, what does that look like? Are you like getting up at, like, I think of Rocky. Like, what does that look like?
Early bird, man. 3:30 in the morning, it's myself and I get the nephews. Hey, Mijo, let's get going. What's up to you? I'm like, yep, let's go. So 3:30 in the morning, we're up, gearing up, we're out the door. We're done running by about 4:30-ish, 4:40-ish. After our run, they'll take a little bit of a nap. Sometimes I just can't sleep, so I'll just stay up, just watch video, a boxing video, or just other fighters, trainers, to see what they learn from them and whatnot. And then I'll go to the gym at 9 with Coach Freddie Roach, and then Coach Freddie Roach just takes it from there, tortures me for another couple hours. And then strength conditioning will be every other day. So it gets a little rough, man. That's from weights to, man, the ropes to, I mean, you know the training regimes, man. They're gnarly, man.
Is it taxing, like having to fight in weight classes with the, you know, having to make sure that you hit weight? Is that like a big challenge to make sure?
I had never in my career had problems with losing weight until this last fight that I had. In 18 years of being a professional athlete, professional boxer, never missed weight. I missed weight by 1 pound.
Oh, man. Mm.
That to me in itself was demoralizing to me, because 161 fights as an amateur, and then now at about 46 fights as a pro, and I missed weight. First time ever. And man, that had a little bit of a mental messing with me a little bit. But I put it behind me because I said, dude, you've been out of the ring for four years and some change.
Yeah.
I said, you've been going through some crazy mental warfare, from what you went through with the allegations to your baby's mom fighting for custody. Like, come on, dude, give yourself a little credit.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I did give myself a little credit. It's just, you know, like Kobe Bryant used to say, you are your own worst critic, you know? And yeah. It's true. I mean, I'm very harsh on my criticism, because I know in my performance, I didn't do my greatest. I did enough to win the fight, which I thought personally, that's my personal opinion. But we went to distance, I got headbutted, ripped my eye open, and then bleeding everywhere, which didn't really matter, but it was two guys going at it in the end, going pretty harsh, but I still thought I pulled it off by a little bit. But you could say people have their opinions. I have mine, you know, so yeah, that's that, man.
So what is a meal? Like, what does that look like when you're this close, let's say a day, two days out, and you're like, shit, I don't know if I'm going to make weight. Do you just not eat? Do you have to do like Saran wrap? I'm just trying to put my mind in.
This particular time around, like I said, it was torture because it was already hot because the fight was in Vegas. I was out running in sauna suits, spitting, no drinking water. And the water that you do drink is distilled. It's got no nutrients in it. And then the foods, the last couple days, I had to cut down to only shakes throughout the days. So I had like my magic bullet and I'd have all the vegetables needed and make my stuff with distilled water. It was horrible, man. But you know what? That's not going to happen again because we started the diets now. So we can come down correctly now.
You know, what do you have a next fight picked out or do you have like a wish list?
I believe November 6th from what I was hearing. I'm not really supposed to talk about that, but.
Well, since you dropped that bomb, you want to say who it's with?
Oops.
Yeah.
Sorry. yeah, but you know what? I'm thankful though that, you know, I'm healthy. I'm young, young enough. So that's why when I see you, when I look through your profile and stuff, not that I'm creeping, but when I look at your stuff, I'm like, I admire what you do, what you've done, and how amazing you are of a person to your wife and your kids. That's freaking awesome, man. And that's what I want down the line, an actual, you know, a woman who loves me for me. Not the fighter, not the athlete, just me, the Kansas kid inside. Mm-hmm. And who can compliment me, who can boost me. Yeah. I boost her, she boosts me. Like that's what I see in you. You guys are like a power couple, man. That's what I want down the line. But at this point in time, I will focus on my two little boys and being the champion. Undisputed.
Champ, love it. So I got one last question for you, Victor. And I feel like I already know the answer of this, but I'd love to hear it. If you were to die tomorrow, what do you want to be remembered for publicly?
The greatest father to my little baby boys.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you got value from this, I would encourage you to leave us a 5-star review. It helps us spread the word of our show, Colin with Colin. Also, connect with us on social media at ColinWayne1 and Digital Jeff. If you tag us across social media with today's episode, screenshot this episode, post it, and we'll be reposting it. Be sure to tune in. Episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll see you on the next episode. Hey, I see you. Actually, no, I don't. I don't see you, but if you want to see us on video, go to our YouTube channel, Colin Wayne, search that, and you'll be able to see all of our episodes in video format. Hop over and be sure to subscribe. Colin Wayne in the search title.